Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphen. And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Oh, that I had trouble there for a second.
I thought you were laughing at me and my setup.
Oh, God. Jenny is recording from her bed. I see the pillows behind her. She ate her vegan breakfast sandwich in bed. I mean, it's truly the best setup I've ever seen. You look incredibly comfortable.
You know, I was like, I am not going to be in that caquita booth at 8 in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you. That's going to be a no for me. Jenny, I have a story to tell you that I found really funny.
Go ahead.
So my dad came to visit me a few weeks ago. And we were walking around and we went to the park near my house. And we were passing by dog parks. So like specifically, you know, they have these enclosures for small dogs, then medium dogs, and then big dogs, right? So it's like this organization, dog parks. And my dad was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, it's a dog park, Dad. And he's like, oh my God. So you're telling me that the city of New York spends taxpayer money to create parks specifically for canines? And I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Yes. And he was just completely like, como que no lo podía creer. Then we continued on with our walk and we see like one of these Upper East Side ladies with like a big dog in a stroller. And my dad whips his head like towards me and he's like, did you see that? And I was like, did I see what, Dad? He's like, un perro in a stroller. And I'm like, yeah, I see it all the time. He's like, no, puedes, que esto no puede ser.
Es que esto no es puede colmo.
Ser. Es colmo. And I'm like, Dad, why are you so like surprised by this? And he was like, I don't know. I guess for me, dogs are pets and son perros, son animales. And I feel like in this society, dogs are treated like kids, like children.
Yes.
They have their little park. They have their little stroller. And I'm like, I actually never noticed that. But my friends treat their dogs like sus hijos.
Like, yep.
They're
like me.
They're part of the family. Yeah. And I feel like this like warped me into a rabbit hole where now I'm like obsessive with trying to figure out how pets reflect culture and tradition and like the psyche of humanity. It is kind of bizarre. We take these little furry things and we're like, now I will take care of you and love you unconditionally. Humans have had pets for like 27,000 years, but like it's always come with an exchange of something like, oh, this is a guard dog, or oh, this dog helps my crops. I don't know. But this is just a purely emotional relationship. But Jenny, you have a dog.
I do. My little gordita.
She's right there.
My little choopy choopy, my little cheesy gordita crunch, my little Delilah Girl Deluxe.
Oh, Delilah Girl Deluxe. I love that.
My little croqueta.
Tu croquetica. But she's like, oy. You rescued her, right?
I rescued her from La Calle. I always tell my friends that she's Venezuelan because I found her in Doral.
Oh my God, es venezolana totalmente.
Sí. But oh my gosh, you know, I grew up with dogs and I'm really glad about that because it breaks my heart when I see little kids like scared of dogs. And I'm like, no, they're like your best friends. But both, you know, grandparents on my mom and dad's side had dogs, more than one. I was raised around them. And so from a very young age, I started having dogs. But Delilah, the way she came about for me was, I'm just going to be honest, Miami, I felt, always had an issue with strays. I used to work in dog rescue just voluntarily. I would always just rescue dogs off the street. And, you know, in Miami, a lot of the shelters are kill shelters. So I'm like, I'm not going to take the damn dog to the pound. So then I would keep, you know, I would technically foster them for a little bit and then find a dog rescue that would take them in. And that's something that I would always do. And, you know, I was just extremely involved with dogs. And so Delilah, I found her, it was in 2012, and she was running around this shopping plaza. I was dropping off my friend at her job at Publix, which is like the big supermarket chain on the East Coast. And all of a sudden, I see this little black bullet just pew, 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 running all around. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, she's gonna get killed. She's gonna get run over. Because that's another thing. In Miami, dogs would get run over all the time. I feel like there's less empathy maybe for pets over there compared to LA, where everyone has like mommy and dog, you know, how do I explain
there's
this?
There's like literally dog yoga.
Like dog yoga and like dogs and coches out here. Miami has that, sure, but there's still this kind of cultural thing where it's like dogs are dogs, mm-hmm. or, you know, they're animals. So I would often, you know, I either find a stray or they'd be dead on the side of the road. So I knew if I didn't rescue her, chances were she wasn't going to make it. Someone was going to just hit her. So I did. I rescued her, but there was something so special about her that we were able to convince my mom to let us keep her, because we already had a dog. We had a beagle named Mickey. And so my mom was worried. It was a lot of stuff there, but thankfully, I was able to keep her, and now she's been out here with me in LA. I've had her now since 2012, so.
But, like, I think it's very interesting, because I always say Miami is the closest you can get to the United States, because, like, it is very much like Latin America. And
yeah,
one of my biggest shocks when I moved back to Venezuela from the U.S., and I'm a dog lover, I've always been obsessed with animals, was the amount of stray dogs everywhere in Caracas. It's just stray dogs are part yeah. of the fabric of the city. And, you know, I had come from Boston and Washington, D.C., where there are no stray dogs. That's just something you don't see. And back home in Venezuela, you know, there's people on the street. There's children on the street. So dogs automatically have like a lower status on the totem pole. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never forget, I was 12 years old and I saw a dog get run over, and I freaked out. I literally had a panic attack, and we were with like a taxi driver, and he was like, oh, come down, it was just a dog. And that for
yeah,
me,
like it's like a cockroach, like whatever.
It's like, oh, this city is full of stray dogs. We are sort of conditioned to, I think for our sake, to not care as much, like to just be like, you know, son animales, they're just animals.
Yeah.
But, you know, that has always been like a cultural point of friction for me. I always felt very, very like, I guess, Americanized when it came to how I perceived dogs. And growing up, you know, my two grandparents had quote unquote dogs, but they weren't really, it was like, dogs that just lived in the backyard.
Afuera en el patio.
Como que vivían afuera. Like, the only dog that was allowed in my grandparents' house was the purebred golden retriever. It was like he was perceived as like cleaner or something. I don't know. And then all the other dogs that were like mutts had to stay outdoors.
Oh my God. That's like weirdly classist.
It's weirdly classist. It's weirdly classist. Oh my it's like God. It's racist. It's like it against dogs. Yes, it's like dog racism. They were like, only the golden retriever God. Can come in here.
No, you know what? It's so funny too, because my dog is a mutt. También, she's a mixed. I did it because, again, because I'm like this. I gave her a DNA test.
Jenny, no, you did not.
I did.
You 23 and need your dog?
I 23andMe'd my dog, and she has cousins in Florida, all over Florida, that she's connected with. I'm
not
even joking.
Is she 1% Ashkenazi Jew?
She is mostly Rat Terrier. She has a lot of random dogs in her, but Rat Terrier is a dominant one, I think, with one of her parents. But regardless, she's a mutt. And so for the longest time, we thought she was like a roided up Chihuahua.
Because she looks like a strong Chihuahua,
but she has no Chihuahua in her.
Interesting.
Which was a shock. But in Miami, I could tell that people would kind of look at her like, because Miami was all about like having like way expensive cock-a-doodle poos, whatever the fuck you want to call them.
I love cock-a-doodle
poos. Fucking.
I love getting woken up by
it's
cock-a-doodle poo.
It's a rooster dog hybrid. cock-a-doodle poos and like shih tzus and all the shoes, whatever. And I know this because I was a pet sitter for extremely wealthy people in Miami for a couple years.
Look, going back to what my dad said, that people are treating their dogs like you were a dog sitter, like babysitter.
Yeah, I was. And that's for the wealthy people in Miami. But they would look at when I would take Delilah to the dog park in like any random park in Miami, I could tell people kind of looked at her like she's ugly. Mm-hmm. Es un poquitica fea. But when I brought her to L.A., oh, my God, people love her here.
Mm-hmm. Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
So you were saying that you have these wealthy people that have like purebred breeds, and you know that dogs are also perceived as kind of like social currency. Like,
yeah.
If you have a beautiful dog, if you have a dog that is like a purebred, whatever, mm-hmm. that says something about you. So dogs, it's part of like the sociology of pet ownership is that some of it is about status. It's about what my dog says about me and what I can afford. And
oh yeah,
many people actually, it's a psychological phenomenon. But it's not really a phenomenon. It's very believable. But like people that own dogs or pets in general are perceived as more trustworthy immediately. People trust people with dogs and other pets more than people with no pets.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Cuando la gente me dicen que they don't like dogs, I immediately think they're a serial killer.
Ted Bundy.
I go from point A to point B.
Ted Bundy hated dogs.
You're a sociopath.
Yeah.
How can you not? They're so loving and so giving and oh God, they're just precious little angels from above. Now there's even articles coming out that, you know, now that we're starting to return to some kind of normalcy, people are returning the dam, and I knew this was going to happen because I do not trust humanity at all. And, you know, there tons of dog and cat shelters were wiped clean at the beginning of the pandemic because everyone's like, I'm going to be bored making bread all fucking day. So I'm going to buy a dog. And now they're returning the damn dog. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Wow.
Dogs get attached to their owners. You are their entire life. Like you are their world.
Yeah.
And you're just abandoning them, or like people that abandon their senior dogs. But then again, what can we expect? What can we even expect? Because a lot of people abandon their own parents in the
Yeah, they leave them in retirement homes.
So imagínate tú, like, we do it to our own people. Of course we're going to do it to the damn dogs.
You know, that's really what look at this shitty, like, cultural man. Comparison, right? I'm always shocked how Americans are like, yeah, my mom and dad, they're in the retirement home. I see them once a year. And I'm like, you abandoned your parents in a retirement home and you never see them? And because yeah. in Latin America, it's like, la abuelita vive en la casa. Like, grandparents come live with you, or they're much inculcados in your weekly, like, you know, schedule. And here it's like pets, you do not see people abandoned. Like, it's like pets generally are part of the family. You and it's...
Yes.
It's like that documentary, Don't Fuck with Cats. It's like the moment someone fucks with an animal, God. It's like, you do not fucking do that. And it's this weird, very specific thing that I've picked up is very culturally different here and then back home, and how it relates to how cultures are like, how the society is built. I don't know, but it's like no one here really sees stray dogs. You know? Yeah, and back home, like, people abandon their dogs. Like, in Venezuela, people abandon their dogs by just leaving them on the street and they become street dogs.
I remember making that connection también when I visited Colombia for the first time. I was in Bogota and I was like, oh my God, there are dogs everywhere. It was just like pigeons, like the equivalent of pigeons, just tirado por la calle. And that's when I made the connection of like, oh my goodness, this is highly cultural. This is why. And when I visited Colombia, I had already been living in Los Angeles for a couple years. So I already saw the stark difference between how people treat their pets in Los Angeles versus Miami. And again, I'm not talking about Miami in its entirety, because like I said, I was a professional pet sitter and I would pet sit for really wealthy people in Coral Gables and Brickell and Miami Beach, and they treated their pets like kids too. It was hence why they hired me. But in my area, my hood, fucking Westchester. I was like trying to not go all the way, but let's just be real, that's how we say it. Westchester.
just remove like 50% Westchester, of the letters.
It just sounds like I'm not even talking about Miami. You know, in like more concentrated areas that had lots of Latinos, especially Cubans. And it was a completely different scenario. That's where I found the most strays. That's where I did a lot of my rescues. That's where I would see a lot of dogs, you know, dead on the side of the road or getting run over and all that. But when I went to Colombia, I was like, this could be it. It's just ultimately, even my grandparents, as much as they loved dogs, they always had them outside. Like, my first dog was technically Campeón. He was a Cocker Spaniel Labrador mix. My uncle had a Cocker Spaniel who somehow got knocked up by a Labrador who jumped the fence, because dogs be horny like that. And I remember falling in love with Campeón. And also, side note, Campeón is, like, probably one of the most... like the most common dog names in Miami.
It's like the name Lauren for white girls is Campeón for Latino dogs.
Champion. So, you know, he was my perrito. I loved him to death, but he was always outside. And, you know, my grandfather took really good care of him. Like, he had like his little cuartico in the laundry room. He would take lots of conchitas and always made sure he had water with ice. But at the same time, it's Miami, so it's hot as fuck still. There's like mosquitoes and whatever, and again, we didn't have like the funds to, you know, buy Purina for this damn dog. So Campeón would eat scraps, like the leftovers from our dinners would go to Campeón. Ese perro duró 15 años, because that's why I personally love mixed breeds, because I do feel like they last longer for that reason. But anyway, but no, we... And looking back, I'm like, oh shit, man. I feel so bad for Campeón. But you know, we would only bring him inside the house during hurricane season. Obviously, there's a hurricane. And I would get so excited as a kid, because that's when Campeoncito would be able to, you know, come inside and he'd be in the bathroom, you know. But I remember my grandma was still very much like, and again, my grandparents loved dogs, but they still were super against having them on our beds, having them lick our faces or us kissing their heads. So that's why if my abuela right now was alive and saw my perra on my bed, she'd be like, ay, 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 la perra en la cama. Ay, eso no es. Ay, 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 ay.
My grandma would do the exact same. Because
yeah, and so it's like it is. It comes back to it being cultural where, you know, a lot of immigrants, and not just Latinos, view dogs as, like, even if they love them, they're animals.
Yeah.
They're not family the way we see dogs as family.
Where, like, I have to say, sometimes I'm a little bit shocked with how my friends treat their dogs. Like, I went to a birthday party, and I assumed it was my friend's birthday party. I was like, oh, that's so weird. I thought his birthday was in May. And we go, and it was the fucking dog's birthday party. And I was like, I cannot believe it. I'm here. Like, I
love it.
This is absurd. Why am I having a mimosa for freaking Oli? Like, what is happening here? But I think, like, I was looking at some research, and I think, you know, rich countries have the ability, people have the ability to treat their dogs like family members, you know? Rich yeah. countries where there isn't a problem with stray dogs, where, you know, kids can get educated and aren't on the street. Like, I think that poor countries, countries with low GDP, countries with just honestly third world countries have more, it's harder to understand why someone would put so much money and time in an animal, right? Like, it's yeah. it's something that is, if you have, like, I think about Venezuela, like a country when I was there, like a country with a lot of economic issues and children with no help and no support. And it almost feels bizarre to take care of a dog better that you would than many people are taken care of in these countries. So, like, I think that's a lot of it with where my grandparents came from. It's like, why would I treat this dog better than how we see people around?
Oh, mate, that makes absolute you know? Sense.
Switzerland is the country that spends the most money on its pets, but okay. 68% of New Zealand households have a pet. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, this makes a lot of sense. New Zealand is a country that is very, very conscious about their ecosystem and yes, about their animals yeah. because, you know, there's flightless birds all over New Zealand that are almost extinct because they brought like ferrets over and all these weird birds with no wings were being mauled to death. So New Zealand has a really eco and animal conscious society. So it really didn't surprise me to find out that so many people had pets there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the U.S. by far has way more dogs than any other. The U.S. really? Has like 70 million dogs. 70 oh million.
Ay, Dios mío.
Dogs, dude.
But, that but is- here's, oh man. No, because I get mad, man. Like, I feel like the whole breeding thing needs to fucking, because there are so many dogs. And the thing is, while many of us have our dogs in coches and shit, there's still so many strays and so many dogs that are neglected and abandoned and abused and are in dire need of homes that I would like to urge our listeners to please always choose a rescue.
This is a new over this is a breeder. New thing, Jenny. Like, this whole concept, like, I was very uneducated about this. I had no idea that breeding was a problem, that, like, you know, because I had breeds my whole life. I had a Yorkie, I had a toy poodle, and I had a Cocker Spaniel. And, like, we researched the breeds, we found a breeder, and, like, I had no clue. I haven't had a dog for many years because, you know, in my 20s, I was like, I'm afraid. I can't even take care of myself. I can't buy a gallon of milk and drink it before it expires. I can't take care of a dog. And then I got really, really allergic. But the whole concept of breeding and breeds being a very complex problem is something I did not know. I was completely ignorant about it.
Yeah, I mean, I learned so much over the years. I mean, and también there's the issue with puppy mills, you know, in the U.S., which thankfully, slowly but surely, they're being shut down. But we ended up finding out the hard way that our last dog that we had as a family in Miami, again, the beagle named Mickey, he was a purebred miniature beagle And we found out the hard way that he came from a puppy mill. And he came to us with a lot of health issues off the bat. And I've come to notice, whether they come from puppy mills or not, a lot of extremely purebred, or like, not even that they're purebred, because I've seen it happen a lot with like the golden doodles and the, again, the cockadoodle poos. Okay, even though they're created from a mix of two breeds, they keep breeding them the same kind over and over. So it still causes a kind of a biological issue.
Do you know the Habsburgs from the Austro-Hungarian Empire? Like this family, the Habsburg family, and basically they all inbred like constantly, because that's what, like, to keep
yes,
the royal blood.
Yes.
Those motherfuckers look weird. You Google the Habsburgs. They had the weirdest looking faces. They all had like hemophilia. It was like the most fucked up line of people.
I believe
summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
But
you know what's funny? I was in Mexico for Christmas last year, and this guy was walking around the beach with these two tiny like newborn dogs, and I was like walking near this American family, and this guy with the two dogs, he's like, "Do you want it?" And they're like, "Oh my god, what?" And then he's like, "Yeah, my dog had babies. Like, do you want this dog? Like, just take it." And they're like, "Oh my god. Oh my god, I can't believe it." And I'm like, "Yeah, dude, you're in fucking Mexico. This guy's dog just had babies and he doesn't know what to do with it. He's just going to give it away. What do you think the infrastructure for dogs is here? You're in the middle of nowhere." Like, they were just aghast. They looked at me like trying to find empathy. Like, "Can you believe this guy?" And I was like, "No, dude, at least he's trying to find a home for these puppies." Yeah. And very strategic. So then I went up to him and I was like, "Oh my god, what type of dog is it?" And he's like, "I don't know, it's a mutt." And I'm like, "Why did you come here?" And he's like, "Because it's full of white Americans. Of course they're gonna just like take the dog, right? All of these Americans are obsessed with their pets." So he was like, trying to give it a good home. He's like,
"Pobrecito." That's a good strategy.
He's like, "All these like American people on the streets drinking like pina coladas or whatever and getting sun." He thought obviously I was an American. He's like, "Lady, do my dog?" And like immediately I went to Spanish and I was like, "Mira, ¿cuál fue tu estrategia? ¿Por qué viniste para acá?" And he was like, "Oh, okay, Spanish, wow." He was like, "This is my strategy. I know that these people care for their pets in a different way than people can care for them here."
Oh my god, I can imagine these girls coming back home to like Orange County. They're like, "Oh my god, you guys, guess what? I got a dog from Mexico."
I have a friend who has a dog from Puerto Rico, and she's like, "Yeah, my dog is from Puerto Rico." And I'm like, "What do you mean he's from Puerto Rico?" She's like, "He's from Puerto Rico. They found him in a beach in Puerto Rico." And I'm like, "I don't know if that means your dog is Puerto Rican." Because she's like, "My Puerto Rican dog, he was just
my dog is Boricua.
What are you talking about?
My dog is Boricua.
That dog is
angry. A lot of people did. It is.
It's such an angry. That dog hates me. And I don't understand what I did to it. I like always try to be nice to it. And that dog fucking hates
Pobrecito.
Me. Oh, God.
El perrito.
Jenny, to conclude this episode, I want to do a like quiz. I want you to guess the top three names for dogs here in the United States specifically. Because we all know that in Latin America, it's like Campeón, Capitán, y Roberto or something like that.
Roberto. Well, I will say for Cubans, it's always a white poodle or some kind of white toy dog breed named Chuchi. It's always, I go say, "Ay, Chuchi, man, I got Chuchi." Well, no, my dog is in a lot of my videos, and her stage name is Chuchi.
Oh my gosh, she has a stage name.
Her stage name is Chuchi, but her real name is Delilah. She has the whitest name.
I love that name.
Delilah.
I think all of my family that had pets back home, like, they all were scary big dogs because they were like, if we're going to have a dog, we might as well, like, scare robbers who try to come into the house. They never had cute dogs. It was always, like, dogs that barked and were big and could bite you.
Yeah.
Like, they had to serve a purpose.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So, okay. So, in America, yeah. So, oh, man. Is Finn one of them?
No, but the number one male name is Max, which makes me sad. I love that name for a person. I
knew a dog named Max. He was a Cocker Spaniel.
There we go. Then the top female name is Bella.
I feel like that's really interesting because so many women in Miami name their daughters Bella.
This whole segment
is that because of Twilight?
Was for me to show you that we're giving dogs names that I would give to my child. Like, it's not like Rover or Captain, you know? Now it's like actual baby names because the next one is Charlie.
See, like, here's the thing. I think there's like a spectrum when it comes to names because you've got Max, but Max also kind of sounds like a dog name, and that could be because of Goof Troop, because Goofy's son is named Max, and they're dogs that speak. So it's kind of weird. They're like human-dog hybrids, right? I'm like, I can see Max, but then you go in, like, you're saying Charlie. What's, like, you know?
Molly.
Diana. Like really specific human names to me are just so, like, my godmother once had a Boston Terrier named Da Vinci.
See, at least that's funny because it's like, oh, this is a famous human. Like, let's give it to, like, that's like quirky. But when it's like, oh, I'm going to name my dog David. It's like,
David is funny. Like naming dogs like David or Kevin or even Jennifer. Like, I've never met a dog named Jennifer. Oh my God, a dog that would be the weirdest.
Oh my God, a dog named Jennifer would be the, if I ever have a dog, I'm going to call it Jennifer. And I will refuse to call it Jenny. I will only call the dog Jennifer by its full name.
I just think it's so, like, what? So when you hear Delilah, does that sound like a dog name to you? Or do you feel like, wow, that's really
that
human?
Sounds like the name of a girl that's a bridesmaid in the same wedding party as me who went to BU and is kind of like basic, but really nice. That's what Delilah reminds me of.
I'm really loving this backstory on, yeah, I don't even know where the name came from for me. I mean, then again, maybe around the time Plain White Tees had
I was going to say
it. Hey there, Delilah.
Yeah. Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? I just imagined that music video starring your dog in black and white.
We've been wanting to do a music video because my husband and I have some hit singles.
I want that.
My mom and I actually have a song for Delilah that it's called. It goes, Delilucci es una papachucci.
Ooh. Ooh.
I know. I can make that into a merengue hit real quick.
It'll be, dude, let's put a beat with it and just, it'll blow up.
Should we call Camilo? Let's call Camilo.
Camilo Lara. Hey, man, we have a hit song.
De la Luchi es una papachuchi.
Hey.
Look, she just woke up. She just woke up next to me because she knows the song. She's like, what, huh? What? ¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó aquí?
I love that.
¿Dónde vamos?
Pet her for me. I want to hug her, but I can't.
I'm petting her little booty right now.
Maybe I'll meet her in person. I'll have to wear a mask, not because of social distancing, but because of my allergies, and I'll have to take a bunch of medication beforehand. But it'll happen. Tell Delilah we will be meeting soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.